Gianello Prima Donna. Corona Prachu Jayanilo Prema Dhana Karuna Prachur Eno Prabhu Kotagela Acharya Thakur Eno Prabhu Kotagela Acharya Thakur Kahamara Swarup Rupa Kaha Sanata Kahamara Swarup Rupa Kaha Sanatan Kaha Dasha Raghunatha Patita Pavan Kahadasha Raghunatha Patita Pavan Kahamara Bhatta Juga Kaha Kabira Kahamara Bhatta Juga Kaha Kabiraj Eko kale kota gela Gaura natara Eko kale kota gela Gaura natara Pashane kutibo mata Onole Poshibo. Parshane kutibo mata onale poshibo. Goranga gunera nidhi kotagele pabo. Goranga gunera nidhi kotagele pabo. Sheshaba Shangira Shange Jai Koilo Bilash Sheshaba Shangira Shange Jai Koilo Bilash. Sheshanga Napaya Kande Narottama Das. Sheshanga Napaya Kande Narottama Das. Jayanilo Premadhana Karuna Prachur. He no Prabhu Kotagela Acharya Thakur. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajagachara Ashtotarasata Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Kol Hrishikesha Samba Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajagachara Ashtotarasata Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajagacharya Ashtotarasata Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Tirubhavtiti Mahotsav Ki Jai Samaveta Prabhupada Anuga Ki Jai Gaura Premanande Hare Hare Bol Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatyade shatarne Om agnana timirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrishtam Manumapi Shachiputram Atraswarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaram Aho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vande Hum Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare. You know, we just sung Kirtan by Srila Narottam Das Thakur, which is generally sung on the disappearance days of great Vaishnavas. He is expressing his deep feelings of pain in separation from devotees, some of whom he never saw physically in his lifetime because they departed before he appeared in this world, but he's lamenting here the departure of Srinivas Acharya, his lifelong companion and friend. So he sings, where has he gone? Such a great Prabhu devotee, with so much mercy, who brought the great treasure of spiritual love. Where are Swarup and Rupa, Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan Goswami? Where is Raghunath Das Goswami, the purifier of the fallen? Where are my Bhatta Yoga, referring to Gopala Bhatta and Raghunath Bhatta? Where is Kabiraj, Krishnadas Kabiraj Goswami? All together, one time, they've gone, along with the king of dancers, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He says, I will smash my head against stone and enter into fire. He's feeling that this would be more desirable than the pain he's feeling. Where shall I go? Where shall I go? What shall I do to get the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is an ocean of transcendental qualities? He concludes his song by saying that all these associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who performed pastimes with him, not getting their association, I can simply weep. This is the feelings of great devotees. In separation from great devotees, we're supposed to feel like that. Jayanilo Prema, who brought the great treasure of love of Krishna, it's all sweet, but sometimes it's painfully sweet, as we find again and again in the songs of Narottam Das. Not in all the songs, but in many of the songs, we feel his lifelong feeling of separation from Vrindavan, from Boma Vrindavan, from this land where we are presently physically situated, and from the Vrindavan of the spiritual world. Of course, in his eyes, there's no difference. So it's a separation festival. Srila Prabhupada, once describing about Rathyatra, said this is a feelings festival, one in which feeling is most intense, because Rathyatra, Jagannath Rathyatra, is, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed, is feelings. Radharani, in her intense separation from Jagannath, drags him back to Vrindavan and installs him again as Vrindavananath. So these are the feelings of great devotees which Srila Prabhupada, as the representative of Narottam Das and all the great acharyas, came to bring, to introduce us to. And no doubt Srila Prabhupada is very, very happy to see you all chanting and dancing, chanting the holy names of Krishna and dancing. That's what he came to this world for, to introduce this chanting of Hare Krishna all over the world. Priti vite ache jato nagaradi gram sabatra prachar hoibe morana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that his name would be preached in every town and village of the world. And practically, Srila Prabhupada made that possible. So we are very grateful to Srila Prabhupada for having brought that treasure of love of Krishna to the whole world. I'm going to read from Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 41. Vyavasaya Atmika Buddhi Eke Hakuru Nandana. persons of fixed intelligence, fixed on one point, focused. What are they focused on? How do they focus? How do we get our focus in Krishna consciousness? This passage from Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on Bhagavad Gita was pivotal in Srila Prabhupada's coming to the Western world to bring Krishna consciousness. Of course, we understand in retrospect that he was born or appeared in this world for that very purpose. But he himself described that this particular passage was revelatory to him. It changed his life, or made such an impression, or that it gave him such a clear focus on what he had to do in his life. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in commenting on this verse, states that my guru's instructions are my sadhana and my life, both in the stage of sadhana, that is, the beginning stages, and even when one comes to the perfectional stage. It's not like the Mayavadis have the idea that you take guidance from a guru, then you become God, and then you don't need a guru anymore. But the Vaishnava understanding that we again learn from Srila Narottam Das Thakur is Chokudano Diloje Janme Janme Prabhushe. Who has given me eyes to see, he is my master, birth after birth. It's such a gift that it can never be repaid. And we remain happy to be eternally indebted. What a difference between material life and spiritual life. What a curse debts are. Probably many of you, if not most of you present here, are in debt, because that's modern life. You take loans and get in debt. And it's a great cause of anxiety, which just burns throughout your life until maybe you clear the debt. But the Vaishnava is very happy to be indebted internally, because this debt is the link. We don't want to see the debt collector. The debt collector's knocking on the door. We don't want to see him. Unwelcome person. But we are very happy to have a relationship of debt. We want to have a relationship with this person who has put us in debt. We don't avoid, like we avoid the debt collector. We're very happy to be in that relationship. That gives us the opportunity for service. How do we repay that debt? Srila Prabhupada, in one famous letter of his to distributors of his books in Los Angeles, said, it is not possible to repay the debt to the spiritual master. They were expressing their feelings of gratitude for having given them Krishna consciousness and the opportunity to engage in the distribution of his books. So Srila Prabhupada wrote back, it is not possible to repay the debt to the spiritual master, but if at all you feel indebted to me, then just try to preach vigorously as I have done. So we see it's transcendentally pernicious. Everything bad is good transcendentally. In other words, Srila Prabhupada put us in debt, and he wanted his followers to attempt to repay the debt, which is not possible, by putting others into debt. So transcendentally pernicious. Pernicious means a cause of harm. Just like Srila Prabhupada would say that if you get infected, we want to spread the infection of Krishna consciousness. If you get infected by Krishna consciousness, people don't want to get infected, but Srila Prabhupada said, we're spreading the infection. If you get infected by Krishna consciousness, and then you have to infect others. So, both in the stages of sadhana and sadhya, both in the beginning stage and in the perfectional stage, the spiritual master's order, Vishnu Chakravarti says, is my life. Because, he goes on to say, I only desire to follow his instructions, and I have nothing else to do in my life. What are you doing with your life? What are we doing with our life? The only thing we have to do, Vishwanath, by putting this in his commentary, he tells us what we should be doing. He says that I have nothing else to do in my life's works, in my whole life, even in my dreams. Now, dreams are of various types. There are daydreams, night dreams, and living our life, which is just a whole long dream. We can say daydream, night dream, and long dream. So even in a dream, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, even in my dreams, I don't want to dream anything else except service to my spiritual master. And even in the night, but then daydreams, we're imagining, I could be doing this, I could be doing that, but I don't want to even imagine doing anything else. And my whole life, that is only meant for this only, for serving my spiritual master. I have nothing else to do except to serve my spiritual master. Whether I'm happy or distressed, doesn't matter. Everything we do in material existence is to maximize our happiness and to minimize our distress. Even when we sacrifice our life for a good cause, some people may do that, or we put ourselves into difficulty for a good cause, but underlying it is the desire for personal happiness. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it's not a consideration. I own personal happiness or distress. Whether I'm liberated from the cycle of birth and death, doesn't matter. I don't care. Doesn't matter. There's no loss for me. Whatever I do, I have full faith. There's no loss for me, that I simply must carry out the orders of my guru. So with complete faith that I just have to follow what he has ordered me, and then all auspiciousness will come. Or even materially, all auspiciousness may not come. Of course, we're not such fools that we think, well, it's not in my best interest to follow the orders of my guru. We accept the order of a guru with the faith that this is, first of all, we have to ascertain this is in my real best interest, and then we just follow. And materially, happiness, distress, gain, loss, we don't consider, because we only have to serve His order. So, with the faith that this is all I have to do, Krishna has sent me this guru. By the mercy of Krishna, we get guru. By the mercy of guru, we get Krishna. By following the order of the spiritual master, Vishnu Thakur is emphasizing, we get the mercy of Krishna, as he famously emphasizes in his Gaur Vashtaka, yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadaha. By his mercy, we get the mercy of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, he recounted that when he read this went very deeply into his, he took this very much to heart, and this is connected with his last contact with his spiritual master before his spiritual master departed from mortal vision. Srila Prabhupada, then known as Abhay Babu, generally, formally, officially, his initiation name, Abhay Charanaravinda Das. Known within Gauriya Math circles, known within certain business circles, but even within the Gauriya Math, not a very important figure, wasn't considered at that time. Known, respected, but not one of the leaders. So, shortly before the departure of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur from this world, our Gurudev, we didn't know at that time, where was I? Which lump of stool was I crawling around in? That's also, that lump of stool is also decomposed, and this way we're passing on our lives, life after life. So Srila Prabhupada, shortly before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's departure from this world, he wrote a letter to him in which he expressed that so many of your disciples, they're serving you, but especially those who are Mathavasis, I don't know exactly the word he used because we don't have the letter. Presumably, maybe he wrote in English because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had commended, praised his English writing. So he said that so many of your disciples, they're able to serve you directly, and I'm a grihastha doing business, so how can I serve you? And in reply, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote that you have skill in writing, speaking in the English language, so you can go do great good to yourself and others by preaching in the English language. And Srila Prabhupada immediately recognized, this was the last instruction he got from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he immediately recognized that it is the same, or it syncs with, it's resonant with, the very first instruction he got from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur when he was not a disciple. Of course, he's an eternal disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, but at that time, he didn't identify himself as a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When he first came into the presence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as a young man in 1922, reluctantly, He went into the presence of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur at the insistence of a friend. At that time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "You are educated young men, why don't you preach the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world?" So Srila Prabhupada, our Srila Prabhupada, he recognized it's the same instruction. And putting that together with Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's direction. As Srila Prabhupada put it in his English, the instruction of the spiritual master is the active principle in the life of a disciple. So he took that very seriously. And although there was no indication at that time that he could go and preach all over the Western world, or no seeming possibility for that, in so many ways, it just didn't seem possible. Not the least being that he was a family man with children to support. But he was always thinking, how could he fulfill that order? And he was determined to do so. Even after some of his godbrothers had been to the West and not been able to do anything substantial in spreading Krishna consciousness, and had come back. Now, there may be various reasons why they couldn't do anything substantial, not the least being that one of the reasons was that war was brewing, and shortly after they went to the Western world and returned, the Second World War broke out. But no one after that, from Goryam outside, attempted to go to the Western world for preaching. Actually, Bon Maharaj went in the early 1960s. Did you know that? Bon Maharaj went to New York in the early 1960s, I believe, or maybe it was late 1950s. But he couldn't do anything. And he came back. So the general consensus among the disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is that preaching in the Western world, it's not going to happen. Or maybe it will happen because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, but we're not going to do it. We're not going to see it in our lifetime. They thought like that. But Srila Prabhupada, he didn't think like that. He was determined, at least he was determined to go and try. It could be said, fools rush in where angels fear to tread, when such stalwarts as Bon Maharaj, Bhakti Hriday, Bon Maharaj, and Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj, they had been, Goswami Maharaj, he had been to the Western world. These are all disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And they hadn't been able to make any lasting impression. And this Abhay Charanaravinda, who later took sannyas, Bhaktivedanta Swami, he appeared to be a very small member of the Gauriya Math in comparison with these three who had been to the Western world, and they were very senior members of the Gaudiya Math and had much personal association with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and they had institutional backing and support. But this Abhay Charan Aravinda, he was a nobody, seemingly. He had no institutional support. But anyway, he was determined to go to the Western world and to preach Krishna consciousness there, because his guru had ordered him. And he took it that I have nothing else to do. In happiness or distress, in Radha Krishna Pranamo Jugala Kisho Jibone Morone Gati Arnahimo. Narottam Das sings that Radha Krishna, the divine couple, are my very life. In death, in living or in death, whatever. So Srila Prabhupada, he took it in the same way. My guru's order, that I have to execute it. Whatever happens, whether I live or I die, he was warned by Sumati Murarji that don't go. You can see that film, your ever well wisher. She says, don't go, old man, you'll die. She was recounting what she'd said to him. You're an old man, you'll die. She was very afraid he would die on the ship, which was quite likely, because the sea passage to New York through the Suez Canal, then you come into the Atlantic, and the Atlantic Ocean is well known for the rough seas and storms. And for an old person with no experience, he's not a sailor, he doesn't have experience of that, it's very likely that he would die even before he reached there. And practically that almost happened. But Srila Prabhupada, he thought, anyway, I have to try. Because it is the order of my guru, I must do it. That was Srila Prabhupada's determination. If I die, I die. He could have stayed in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is very nice. What do you think? How do you all like? You're happy to be here. Are you all happy to be in Vrindavan? It's very nice to be in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his early talks in New York, before he had any official disciples in the West, he had a tape recorder. He was looking forward that others may like to hear in future also. So he was explaining Bhagavad Gita on the point of duty. That Krishna was explaining to Arjuna, it is your duty to fight. Don't give me all this philosophy, Krishna told Arjuna. When there's a duty to do, there's no philosophy. You have to do it, that's all. It's your duty, you have to do it. Don't bring in so many reasons why you shouldn't do it. It's your duty, you have to do it. So Srila Prabhupada explained that Vrindavan, in the course of explaining this to his Western listeners, he said, Vrindavan is a very nice place. I could have stayed there. I would be very happy. There would be no difficulty whatsoever. Everything is very nice. But then, why have you come here? Because it is my duty. Because my spiritual master ordered. Why did Srila Prabhupada come to the Western world? There could be many answers to that. To give the Hare Krishna mantra, to save all of us in the Western world from our hellish existence, to save everyone in India also from their hellish existence. He wasn't forgetting India. To fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. There could be many reasons given, but in Srila Prabhupada's mind, his prime reason, the overriding factor, there may be so many reasons why he shouldn't go, the overriding factor is because my guru has ordered, and it is my duty to do so. And he, one reason why this Krishna conscious movement spread so quickly and unexpectedly was because he instilled that same spirit in his disciples, that you have to do what I say because I'm your guru. Just like one time, one woman in America, in astonishment, said to Srila Prabhupada, "These young boys and girls, they worship you." And Srila Prabhupada said, "Yeah. Just like I worship my guru. It's normal, of course. In India, that still that much culture is going on. Despite all efforts to destroy the culture of India. Don't think it finished in 1947, all efforts to destroy Indian culture. It's going on at every moment. Coordinated efforts to destroy Indian culture. Srila Prabhupada, he just took it as normal, as we see here in India up to the present day, people, or at least Hindus, are not envious of worship of superiors. It's very much ingrained in, the, we can say, the Hindu psyche, because in Islam, they're not supposed to worship humans. They find it very distasteful. But at least in Hindu culture, acharyopasanam, the culture of worshipping the acharya, is going on. So Srila Prabhupada, he just took it as normal that the disciples are worshipping. I have to train them in Krishna consciousness. And one of the things you train them in is to worship the guru. That's part of Krishna consciousness, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said in one of his famous speeches, that when the guru has to explain the Bhagavatam, 11th canto, to the disciples, and he comes to the point where Krishna tells Uddhava that the Hare Krishna. You put me in a difficult position because I'll stay. Yeah, so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying, when the guru, he has to explain the Bhagavatam to the disciples, when he comes to the 11th canto and he explains that the guru is to be considered as good as God, acharyang mam vijaniyam navamanyeta karhichit namartya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva mayo guruhu. When the acharya has to explain to the disciples that the guru is to be considered just like me, never disrespected, never considered an ordinary human being, because he is the representative of all the demigods and all the saintly persons. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur put the rhetorical question, should I not explain this? Should I instead say to the disciples, better you get a stick and beat the guru? You have to explain as Krishna explained. So Srila Prabhupada just took it. Yes, they're worshipping me, just like I worship my guru. And we can extend that and say that Srila Prabhupada, well, actually he did say that. There is a statement of his in which he says that my glory will be when my disciples are worshipped all over the world. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada, he came to the Western world because it was his duty, and he instilled in his disciples, it is your duty to follow my order. And my order, if you at all feel indebted to me, you preach vigorously, like me. So Srila Prabhupada could have stayed in Vrindavan, as he said, I would have been very happy. But he remembered the teaching of Vishwanath Chakravarti, that my happiness and my distress, that doesn't matter. Personally, Srila Prabhupada, he wasn't very happy in New York, in the sense that it was very difficult. In one note he made, it was on Gaur Purnima, Srila Prabhupada made a diary entry. This must have been 1966. That all the devotees in Navadvip, they're very happily celebrating the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I am here alone in New York. And there were no devotees at the time. And Srila Prabhupada said, but I'm here on the order of my guru. He would have been very happy to be in Navadvip with the devotees. He could also, as a sannyasi of the Gaudiya Math, he could have lived in one of them, in one of the temples, could have given some talks and been well respected and been very happy. But he was in New York. No association directly, but he said, my Guru Maharaj, I always feel the presence of my Guru Maharaj. So he was there. The first person he became, well, there was Sally Butler, who recently passed away, got so much mercy from Srila Prabhupada. In Butler, Pennsylvania, which probably most of us, including the American devotees, would have probably never heard of. If it hadn't been for Prabhupada, such an insignificant place. But the first Indian, or the first person Prabhupada could relate to, on at least in a cultural, in the West, was a Mayavadi, Ramamurti Mishra. That was the first person who helped him in New York, and Prabhupada helped him also by cooking for him and Ramamurti Mishras. He was a Mayavadi. He came as a doctor to New York, but he found it would be more profitable to become a guru, so he became a guru. And he said that Bhaktivedanta Swami, he saved my life by cooking for me, because Dr. Mishra was very sick at that time. And although Dr. Mishra, just like we find many Mayavadis even today, if they like us, they like our kirtan, they like our prasadam, But they don't like our philosophy. Because our philosophy is that you're a rascal. You're Mayavadi, you're a rascal. So, as we find nowadays, Srila Prabhupada, he was sometimes called by Dr. Mishra. You come, you do kirtan, but don't speak. But Dr. Mishra said that he was an incarnation of love. He recognized that in Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada went through so much difficulty. His only friend at first in New York was a Mayavadi. Srila Prabhupada was kind enough to befriend him. He helped Srila Prabhupada. He gave him a room to stay in, even though it had no windows. And he gave him some food and this and that. But what even to come to America, his visa was denied, his P form was denied, he didn't have any passage to go. Whoever he told tried to discourage him. His godbrothers thought it was some phantasmagoria. What are you going to do there? What are you going to do? So, others couldn't do anything. What are you going to do? It's just ridiculous. But he felt, it's my duty. I have to do. I have to try. One aspect of Srila Prabhupada's transcendental personality. Well, he was a pure devotee of Krishna. That makes a lot of difference. Makes a lot of difference. You can read his astrology chart and this and that. But the very fact that he is a pure devotee of Krishna means he's not mediocre. He was never meant for mediocrity. And he wasn't content to be simply a Vrajavasi. What do I mean by that? The whole goal of life is to become a Vrajavasi. But it wasn't enough for Srila Prabhupada. The perfection of life is to become a Vrajavasi, to live in Vrindavan, to chant Hare Krishna. So many people come here, especially at the end of life, to lead their final days and chant Hare Krishna and by the mercy of Radharani, go to the Vrindavan in the spiritual world. But that wasn't enough for Srila Prabhupada. He had his duty to perform, but he also had this desire personally that I have to do something. I have to try at least to bring this message to people who are devoid even of any knowledge of Vrindavan, any knowledge of Krishna. That was his feeling, that this Krishna consciousness is so great and it is communicable. He had that faith. We find in his poem, Markine Bhagavat Dharma, he had the faith that Krishna consciousness is communicable to others. Others in India, devotees in India, they thought, it's not communicable. It's not possible. Maybe some other time, maybe after some more time, Western people will be able to take to Krishna consciousness. But Srila Prabhupada had faith. In the words of Shastra, Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha, the people of low birth, by the mercy of the great devotees. Well, this is a prayer of Shukadeva Goswami. Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha. What's the next line? Abhira Shumbha Yavana Kasadeyaha, even the Chinese. yene cha papa yadapashraya ashraya shudyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. How powerful is Lord Vishnu that he invests power in his devotees to uplift even the Chinese. And even the Andhras. Yesterday we were talking about Andhras. You can laugh because you're from Hyderabad, but you're North India. But that's the whole point. That however fallen one may be, one can be uplifted. And in his prayer, Markene Bhagavat Dharma, Srila Prabhupada expressed his faith. Jodi Shune Barba, if they hear Bhagavatam again and again, these American people who are overcome by Rajas Tamogune Arashab Achanno, they're all covered by the lowest modes of nature. But if they hear again and again, and he quoted in his song, Nashta Prayesh Vabhadreshu Nityang Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yutama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. That if people give attentive oral reception to the Bhagavatam repeatedly, daily, then firm devotion will arise in their heart. So Srila Prabhupada had faith that if the American people can be induced to hear the message of Bhagavatam, they will become devotees. He came from India when he had his first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam printed. Then he came. Then he thought, now is the time to go. He started his Bhagavatam commentary. There's another thing. In so many ways we can say Srila Prabhupada, he's not whatever he is. There are many adjectives that can describe Srila Prabhupada. One of them definitely is not mediocre. Who, in old age, the beginning of old age, in his early 60s, would undertake the translation of the whole Bhagavatam into English with extensive commentary. That wasn't the only thing he was thinking of. He was also thinking of preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. But he came with the first canto printed, and he said that all that he had to say is compressed in there. His basic message is there in his commentary on the first canto. So he had faith that Krishna consciousness is communicable even to the Kirat, Hun, Andhra, Pulinda, Pukash, and these are identified as various kinds of low-born people in India and outside India. Low-born people in India and anyone outside India, because anyone outside India is low-born. That Krishna consciousness is communicable to them. The clue is given right in the Bhagavatam itself. Nashta Prayesh Vabhadreshu Nityang Bhagavata Sevaya. And it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wish that his message be preached all over the world. So it is possible. My guru ordered, Tar Icha Bhalavan Pascha Tete Tan Tan Hoi Jate Gauranger Nam. His desire is very powerful. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada wrote, his, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's, desire is very powerful. And he wanted that in all places in the Western world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name would be spread, would be known, would be preached, would be chanted. So Srila Prabhupada had the faith that it could be done, it should be done. I was ordered to do it, so let me at least try. If we see multiple statements of Srila Prabhupada, I have analyzed, it appears that he didn't think that he was going to be the one who was going to do it. And he became surprised when devotees gathered around him and the Krishna conscious movement started to spread. There is an oft-quoted anecdote with his meeting Mr. Rubin, a Turkish Jew who was a conductor on the New York subway, that Srila Prabhupada had said to him that I have farms, I have temples, I have disciples all over the world, only time is separating us. I consider this to be apocryphal, this story. In other words, I don't believe it, because we only have Mr. Rubin's testimony after the fact. Just like I was traveling in Bengal, and one time I went to Allahabad in 1977. This was just before Srila Prabhupada. This was October 1977. I was going around in Allahabad, meeting people, trying to sell Srila Prabhupada's books, sets of books, Bhagavatams. By the way, if you don't have a full set of Bhagavatam in your house and you want to sell, you want to please Srila Prabhupada, okay, I'm your guru. If you don't have a set of Bhagavatams in your house, you must get one. Prabhupada's translation. Anyway, I met several people in Allahabad who told me, yes, I knew your guru. I was the one who told him he should go to the West. Sure. So, and in Bengal, sometimes I would meet people, they would say, yes, actually, it was me who gave him the idea. So I'm skeptical of Mr. Rubin's saying that Prabhupada said this to me, because Prabhupada himself said so many times that I never expected such a wonderful thing to happen to me. It's all the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. What is the time? Have a watch here. Okay. What actually happened, we have more evidence of that, is that people, they scoffed. And even after Prabhupada had gone to the West, he was trying to get some of his godbrothers and godbrothers' disciples to come and help him in the beginning, before he had any followers. And there's one letter in which Srila Prabhupada writes very strongly to a disciple of one of his godbrothers, who he was trying to get this, because this devotee had expressed interest to come and join Bhaktivedanta Swami in the Western world. This is when nothing was going on. Prabhupada, he could, from the external perspective, he could hardly even support himself. You'll see in his diary, he would write in his diary, income, 21 cents, expenditure, $1.31. So some days income, nothing. So he could hardly even maintain himself. But he was trying to bring someone else, and we don't have the letter that was sent to Srila Prabhupada, but Srila Prabhupada in his reply again and again uses the word ludicrous. Because ludicrous, which means, you know what that means? How would you translate? It looks like you don't know what the word ludicrous means. It means a common synonym is ridiculous. So it appears that Srila Prabhupada's godbrother had said that this, he told this disciple who had said to his guru that I want to join Bhaktivedanta Swami in America. He's calling me. It's ludicrous. They took it as ludicrous. And Prabhupada again and again in his letter, he used the word ludicrous. It is not ludicrous. Very strongly, it is not ludicrous. This is the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the desire of our guru. It is not ludicrous. But you can, even when Prabhupada is in the Western world, he was there and he wasn't doing anything, and it appeared that he was going to be in the same position as Bon Maharaj, who'd gone to America just a few years previously, and he didn't achieve anything. He went and he came back. And it might have appeared ludicrous, it might have appeared very, realistic to say that it was ludicrous, because, you know, this Bhaktivedanta Swami, he would always talk big things. He's going to go to the Western world, he's going to preach there, but he could never get anything together, even in India. He made this League of Devotees with big plans, sending so many, he had this Back to Godhead magazine, he was going to send so many thousands of copies to different countries in the world, and it all came to nothing. He couldn't even maintain a temple, and even the deity he had to give to Keshav Maharaj, and then he went to America, and just see, he's not able to do anything. So why are you going to, you have so many important services here in India, and why join him? It's ludicrous. From the external point of view, that might seem to have been true. Or it did appear to be true to everyone. Everyone in the world who knew anything about it, which wasn't many people, because who was interested? Everyone except one person. And that was Srila Prabhupada. If he had come back, some might have patted him on the shoulder and said, well, it was a good try. And then he could have settled into his home at Radha Damodar, or settled down in Navadweep in one of his godbrother's mats. But he didn't. And we're very grateful to Srila Prabhupada that he didn't go back. Very, very grateful. And we can't repay the debt to him. But we can try. The bridge to Lanka could never be built by grains of sand, but the effort was appreciated by Lord Rama. So what can we do? We are enjoined to preach vigorously as Srila Prabhupada preached. But what can we do? He is who he is, and we are who we are. But someone has to do it. Someone has to carry on the mission of Srila Prabhupada. There is not one, there are many who are doing so. Toma Kripai, what is that? Shok, what is that? Oshambhav Shambhav Hoy. Shokali Oshambhav Shambhav Hoy. What is impossible is possible. We should have that faith that Srila Prabhupada, in praying to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it's impossible. Yes, it's impossible. Here I am, old, in poor health, alone, no institutional support, no money, no friends. But as Srila Prabhupada said, I never felt I was alone. I always felt that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is with me. And after so many wonderful things happened, so many devotees came, so many temples, farms, books, fame, Srila Prabhupada always gave the credit to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And that is the secret of his success. I'm in the process, ongoing process, of compiling a book called The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada. And therein, there's a section called Secrets of His Success. So there are various factors. One major factor is divine serendipity. In other words, Krishna wanted it and Krishna helped. But the point that Srila Prabhupada emphasized again and again and again, if I have any credit in this regard, it is all due to the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. He gave all the credit. I have no credit. But if there is any credit in this regard, it is all the mercy of my spiritual master. So, we were going to hell. Srila Prabhupada's disciples, who are still present in this world today, most of them, most probably, won't be present much longer. We're all at that time of life where death is closer than birth in this life. This life's death is closer than the birth. In other words, we're not likely, very unlikely, we're going to live in this body as long as we've already lived. We're about to die in normal language. We're all about to die. But by Krishna's grace, which we receive through Srila Prabhupada, we have great hope that we're going to Krishna, or we'll go on in Krishna consciousness. We'll go to Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, we were going to hell. Srila Prabhupada disappeared from this world, and it's a feelings festival. Jayanilo Premadhana, Karuna Prachur, Kothagala, where has he gone? We know where he's gone. He's gone to Krishna. He brought the love of Krishna. We know where he's gone. He's gone to Krishna. But we feel, Kotha gele pabo, where will I go to get him? Where can I get him? Where will we find Srila Prabhupada now? We'll find him in his instructions. He lives forever by his divine instructions. And the follower lives with him. You know, I plan to discuss this point more in the afternoon session. We could go on talking and talking and talking. Ebe Josh Gushok Tubhuvan, his glory should be announced. Srila Prabhupada's glory should be announced throughout the world, not just one day a year or 2 days a year, but always. The best way we can do that, we can contribute to that effort, is to distribute the books of Srila Prabhupada. Can't go wrong. Well, we can go wrong. We can distribute the books in inappropriate ways. It's a strange thing to say. You can do the right thing in the wrong way. But basically, it's the right thing. If we distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, we know we're going to get Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So, yeah, again, I plan to speak more on that in the afternoon session. So I'll just do my little part for book distribution here. Those of you who don't have a full set of Srila Prabhupada's books in your home, you must get a full set, at least one full set. Actually, you should all have at least two at least two sets, because you have to distribute them also. So if you have to keep a set for yourself, and if you don't have extra sets, how are you going to distribute them? So you should all fill up your houses with Prabhupada's books, and then you won't have any space to sleep in your home unless you distribute them. That's what Srila Prabhupada said when he built that huge long building in Mayapur, and then he instructed, fill it all up with books. And where will the devotees stay? And then they have to distribute books, and then they'll have a place to stay. Srila Prabhupada liked his book distribution very much. So it's very difficult to understand. Vaishnava kriya mudra bigeha nabuja. It's very difficult to understand the mind of a Vaishnava. But Srila Prabhupada has made it very clear, at least one thing he likes very much. He understood that from his guru. He understood. Srila Prabhupada said, I understood. One thing he likes very much is books. If you ever get money, print books. So yeah, have books, read Prabhupada's books, distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And if I can encourage you in that, then my work as a representative of Srila Prabhupada is done. That's all I have to do. Just repeat what he said. So we'll finish this talk here. Many thanks to all of you for coming, especially my godbrothers, coming again and again to bless the devotees. And later in the morning, Mukunda Datta Prabhu will speak. He'll say something. No doubt, whatever he speaks is very meaningful and very much based in Shastra, in the teachings that Srila Prabhupada gave. And I've asked Basu Ghosh Prabhu to speak on Shastra is the center, as Srila Prabhupada said. Understanding this point is crucial in understanding the personality of the Guru. He's not self-made. He's not Sai Baba. He comes to give us Shastra. Anyway, he will speak on that. Thank you all for coming and praising Srila Prabhupada. There'll be more kirtan later. I would be very, very happy to jump very high in the kirtan, but I won't, because physically some problem in doing that. So all of you, however high you can jump, jump higher, please. Jump on my behalf. And Srila Prabhupada will be very happy seeing you all do that. It's very, very easy to please him by chanting Hare Krishna. And Haripada Prabhu, his life's message is chant Hare Krishna and be happy. He personifies that. So Hare Krishna, we'll finish there for now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki jai! Sri Giriraja Govardhana ki jai! Hare Krishna!